106.3 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan with you live inside Bridgestone Arena. Oh, he is Tim. We are efforting Tim Hasselbeck. He will be joining us in a moment. But let's continue the conversation while we wait for Tim. All right, now actually Tim is here.
Very good.
The magic of live radio.
Well, he had to walk from one side of his house to the other, and that may take about 5 minutes, so you never know.
House? Who's at the house? Like, you're the only guy that like doesn't go to the studio. Okay?
Derek is here in living color, live and in living color. I can speak
listen,
for that.
I'm at school, man. Like, what are you talking about?
Oh, like, yeah. The school, my fault, you're right, because the school isn't as big as your place, so.
Hey, the school's pretty big now.
I know.
But that's not as big as the Hasselbeck Mansion.
Oh, heck no. It's not even close. The Hasselbeck Mansion dwarfs that. You know, it just goes over. It's like two of those buildings over there.
Tim, yeah. I hope you had a restful off week before your Ensworth Tigers get back to action this week. I want to rope you into this conversation we're having about Rand Carthon. Through 2 years as general manager, the results have not been there in the win and loss column. Many of the high-priced free agents he signed over this past offseason so far have not worked out. There are questions about his draft class, the 2023 draft class. We've spoken at length about Will Levis. I'm curious for your opinion. How long do you think a general manager needs in that position to get a true evaluation of his ability as a front office executive?
Yeah, I think you need to see at least 3 years, you know, and 3 seasons of the guys playing. Just because, you know, a couple of players in a draft or a couple of players in free agency. And then depending on like who's actually available certain years in free agency, like, you know, it isn't always like enough to really change, you know, the magnitude of the impact on a 53-man roster. Right. And so I think that that's a challenge. And then I think, you know, you also have to be cognizant of, all right, well, what are the positions that were addressed? Like, was quarterback addressed? Or were we addressing left guard? You know, was, you know, what did we do, you know, at some of these kind of, I don't know, better way to put it, like a splash players, okay? Like an edge rusher, a corner, a big-time receiver, stuff like that. So I think that when you say, all right, okay, well, there's 3 seasons of watching what's happened, I think over that stretch, like, all of those things maybe have an opportunity to be addressed. So, you know, maybe quarterback doesn't. It certainly does, you know, with the Titans. But you essentially have the ability to say, all right, like, these are obviously holes. These are guys that are leaving in free agency. This is where we picked in the draft. These are players that were available. Like, this is how we could have changed our team. I think that's enough.
Tim, after the game on Sunday, Brian Callahan took us through the timeline with Will Levis about his injured shoulder and him practicing and playing in the game against the Colts and practicing leading into the game against the Bills. He was a late scratch, limited participant in practice on Friday. Mason Rudolph comes in. He laid it out as much as he could. How do you feel like Brian Callahan has managed this situation over the past couple of weeks with the quarterback position? And if you were in Brian Callahan's position, would you have done anything differently?
I really don't think I'd have done things differently. I mean, it's a little bit like the conversation we had last week in that I think everybody, I mean, we talked about it all off season. I know I had the conversation with you guys about it where it's like, how do you feel about this team? Feel pretty good about this team. You know, what's the differentiator between, you know, the Jaguars and the Titans? Well, probably quarterback. What's the difference between the Texans and them? You know, probably the quarterback. Look what's happening in Indianapolis right now. Like, their quarterback is trying to figure out if he can play in the National Football League. Like, that's just, you know, the reality of, you know, the quarterback situation with the Titans. It's like, everyone's got to figure out, like, is it sink or swim? You know, like, can he get it done? And so you have to play him. And you have to I don't know. I think you just have to create this environment where you learn what he can and can't do. And the only way to, and sometimes it might mean you lose the game because you're trying to figure out if he can play or not. I think that we all would probably agree that that basically happened the first 2 weeks of the season. And I think the way that Brian Callahan has answered questions about it, I think is he's trying to do it maybe as forthcoming as possible because he's going to have to answer questions going forward for the rest of his time as the head coach of the Titans. So he doesn't want to betray trust and all that. At the same time, the message that he's sending by how he answers the question to his team, to the quarterbacks, I think he's got to be aware of that as well. I think that's why he was so definitive of like, no, when Will Levis is back, he's a starting quarterback, right? Like when that happened. And like whether he truly believes that in his heart or not, like almost doesn't matter. What matters is the message that he was sending by saying it.
We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach of the Innsworth Tigers. They're 8-0, I believe. Yeah, they didn't play last week, so they're 8-0 with the game coming up this week. Looking at this, Tim, should they, as the trade deadline sort of looms, should they be sellers? And if so, is that fair to the head coach? Because obviously he came in, you hired him, he assessed the quarterback, and I guess everybody was in agreement, okay, I can work with this guy, I can get the most out of him. And you sold him on a team by the free agents you went and got that, hey, listen, this should be a team that can compete. Now, whether we get in the playoffs and win games, that's a different story. But we should be able to compete and compete to win the division. But now, as they sit, we know good and well that's not the case. So what the best thing to do for this franchise as the trade deadline looms is to trade off any and everybody they possibly can to try to build up the draft stock for this upcoming draft.
100%. And it's still early. I think winning the division is probably still something that's not crazy to think is possible and all that stuff. But like, I think the information that you have right now on where you are at quarterback, the fact that he's injured, which is going to, let's just say that Will Levis comes back, from 2 weeks from now. So basically the whole second half of the season, say he goes on a tear. Like, I still don't know that that's enough information for you to feel like, yep, this is what we're doing going forward. Like, I do think like we're at the spot, and then because of the injury situation, that there's going to be a different quarterback at the Titans next season. Like, there will be, like, whether through the draft or through free agency, like, it's just the likelihood that Will Levis is the starting quarterback going into training camp next year. It just doesn't seem like that's like we're headed that direction. Right. So yeah, I think what you do is you say, okay, like, where can we get younger? Where can we get the most value, and where can we start to rebuild this? So, because there will be guys available a year from now that are veterans. There will also be guys available in the draft. And, look, I think the Titans probably at this point, even though it's unpopular this early, weather's still warm, like, that's maybe the best thing for you going forward, especially, like, if you're Brian Callahan and you're in, you're early in your tenure as the head coach. Look, like, Pittsburgh, one of those quarterbacks won't be there next year. Right? So, like, there's somebody that's played football that's going to be available. That's, like, just stuff like that's going to happen around the league. And so, I think you can be in a situation where you start preparing for it now.
Yeah, because the way I look at it, Tim, it also gives you the ability to allow some of these younger players to develop. I know that we talked ad nauseum about letting a quarterback develop. Let's see what we have in a quarterback. We need to throw him in there. But we also need to see what we have in other players too. So this could be a great opportunity to say or set the table of, hey, listen, the season is pretty much done. We need to start making some moves to gain draft capital. But also in that, we can allow some of these young players to play in situations that is going to be hard and see how they react to them. Because I don't want to then wait until next year to try to see if these young players can play. We can, you can see right now. Throw the young wide receiver in there. Throw some more of those tight ends in there that you have on the roster. Throw them in there, see if they can play, because these may be the guys that helped you sort of rebuild this organization.
Hey, the other thing that you do is you, all the guys that your pro personnel department has good grades on that are on the practice squad other places, go bring them in and give them chances. Like, look, Rasul Douglas ends up at the Packers a few years ago, you know, off of somebody's practice squad, and next thing you know, is like, you know, gives like 7 interceptions or whatever he had at the time, and you know, leads himself into a big contract, proved that he was a pretty good player. So, like, that's the other thing that you can do, not just the guys that are currently on your roster, but all of these guys that like other teams are hanging on to on their practice squad because they think they're right there. Well, go put them on your 53-man roster, give them playing time, and find out if they can do it. So, yeah, I think there's I don't know. I've never really been one of those guys that it's like, hey, we're going to go ahead and punt on this season this early to go get ready for next season. But I also do think, like, it's not really wise in today's landscape to, like, when you have all the information – or at least you have the majority of the information that you need to not set yourself up for success in the future. And I think it's pretty easy to get there on the Titans with kind of how the season has gone so far.
We're talking to Tim Hasselbeck, talking football here. So, Tim, you now are getting week to week more and more experience with the coach's perspective. I think the perspective is so important when we talk about Tua. Like, I was – we flip on one of the, you know, network morning shows. You flip around the Today Show, Good Morning America, CBS Mornings. They're talking about Tua, right? Mm-hmm. They bring it up. It's a story that hits that audience that goes beyond football. And I can see my perspective being very different if I'm a Miami Dolphins fan and the season's slipping away and like, hey, Tua wants to play. Let's get him in there. You can't stop him. He's the guy that it's his body. He can play. And then somebody from a different perspective outside of it could say, why in the world are they letting this guy get in there? This isn't smart. So if you're in there with him, how do you try to go with it, right, and balance those two sides?
Yeah, I think when it comes to the head injury thing, you know, my perspective as a coach, like at that level, my perspective as a coach would be like, hey, listen, I want you to know I care about you as a human being. So like whatever decision you make, like, I will be fully supportive of. Like, you're an adult, this is your profession, and you're getting information from coaches or from doctors that to inform your decision, like, not necessarily a coach, right? So like that would be how I would handle it if I were a coach at that level. It would be drastically different just in terms of brain development, things like that, in terms of you know, any type of feedback that I gave anybody, you know, at the high school level. So I guess I would start by saying that. I would also say this, like, as it relates to the pro level, and I think that there are a lot of guys that feel this way. Look, we're not that far removed from when a guy got a concussion, you just gave him some smelling salts and he went back in the game. Like, I think we've learned that that's no longer the right way. And so the pendulum has swung so much so that, like, there's an independent neurologist at games saying, hey, remove that person from the game and see if they, you know, quote unquote, got their bell rung. And so, you know, that's a pretty far swing. And so I do think that there are some players that are like, listen, are there some guys in tough shape that had multiple concussions? Sure. But like, are there a lot of guys that had 10, 15 concussions that, like, they just kept playing and they're doing okay? Yeah, there are those guys too. So I'm not saying that's right, but I'm saying that that is the I think there are a lot of guys that feel that way, right? And feel like, yeah, like, this is the cost of doing business. Like, this is, is what I do. It's like if I'm a fire, you know, fireman, have there been guys that have died running into a burning fire? Yeah, but I chose to be a fireman. You know, I think there are players that look at head injuries, knee injuries, whatever it may be, and they say, like, am I putting my body through a lot by playing football? Yes, but this is what I chose to do. So, I think that's the challenge. Like, that's the and when you get to the pro level, I don't think that a player is listening to a coach's advice on it. Like, I think they're making their decision based on how they feel about their profession and what doctors are saying to them.
Tim Hasselbeck, as he always does on Tuesday, joining us to talk football. Tim, I hope, as I said, I hope that you had a wonderful off week with your undefeated record still intact, and I hope it is still intact on Friday.
Who do y'all have this week, Coach?
So we have homecoming this week. Thanks for coming back to the game. Thanks for having it on your schedule, D-Mate.
Hey, I'm always watching. I'm always watching. Okay. Don't think I'm not watching.
Yeah, homecoming, we got Briarcrest coming to town from Memphis for our homecoming. So we're excited about it. So all these games are important now. We want to finish the season strong. We got to finish the mission motto. So we're excited to play at home. We got one more home game in the regular season, one more away game, and even though you guys give me a hard time about our beautiful campus, it is a great place to watch in person a Friday night football game.
Oh yes, it is.
You want to
get
off the couch,
place.
You know, put the potato chips down or the Starburst, really, for you. I know you're eating the candy. So we got them coming to town. We're excited for, you know, last regular season home game for our seniors. So that's always special. So we're excited about hosting that.
Get there early, people. Get there early because they will be packed.
Tim, you are our homecoming king on this program. We will give you your flowers. Tim, thank you for joining us. We'll chat next week.
Yep.
Sounds good.
You want to crown him? Dennis Green? Homecoming king.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, head coach of the 8-0 Ensworth Tigers. 615-737-1025. Are the Titans the most hopeless franchise in the NFL? What one NFL analyst has to say about that, we'll get to it next. By the way, attention builders, remodelers, and homeowners. Pella Windows and Doors invites you to their showroom grand opening this Thursday from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. at 256 East Main Street in Hendersonville. Discover premium windows and doors, enjoy food and drinks, and see how Pella can transform your home. Chase McCabe and Big Joe will be broadcasting live on location, and there will also be some raffle prizes given away, including Preds, tickets, RTIC coolers, and more.